This is Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Fun Belt Podcast.
This is the Fun Belt Podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sun Belt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating. It's...
Evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fun Belt Podcast. We're in the slow season. We're doing bi-weeklies. Shane is with us in the studio. It looks like he's lost a bunch of weight. Shane, are you on the Ozempic?
I'm not.
Okay. Tibbs is also with us tonight. Tibbs, you're looking good. Have you been doing yard work? Have you been doing sprints? Have you forgotten to eat?
No, I've just been in Vegas sweating to the oldies.
Oh, Vegas. Is that where you tripled our spending cash?
No, guys, I'm sorry. I took the Red Wolves over two wins in baseball, so they're coming after us.
Yeah, never bet on Red Wolves baseball. You will be a loser all the time. So in addition to Shane, in addition to Tibbs, in addition to myself, we already have our guest of the evening, primed and ready to go. He's not in the green room. He's not eating our Ritz. He's not eating our Slim Jims, drinking our Fresca. He's in the studio right now, the Bet Online guest of the night, Dave Schultz from Locked On Sun Belt Podcast. Dave, welcome to the show. We need your penetrating insight. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UCF, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on some blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
You just set me up. I'm gonna let that one. You're gonna get the turnover on that one. I'm gonna let that pass go. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
No. There's no pass. We need penetrating inside information, especially regarding, guys, the saga, this sort of event horizon that happened at the Cajuns, at the Louisiana Raging Cajuns campus. Softball team gets a little bit turnover in coaches. You know, in the Sun Belt, success is always punished, and it's happened again. The coach gets poached. Dave, tell us what happened.
I wish I could tell you what happened. I do not know what happened. So it's been about a week, right? So we're recording this on Tuesday. He was the rumors came out on Wednesday, and by Thursday morning, shortly after I got done with the Schultze cast, of course, it was put out there that Jerry Glasgow had accepted the job for Texas Tech. We can skip a little bit, fast forward, and all of a sudden the Cajuns now have this former legendary figure, Allison Habits, coming back. She actually retired from softball following the 23 season to take care of her mother. I think her father passed away. So instead of trying to do that from Tuscaloosa, I think she moved back home to Crowley, which is just outside of Lafayette. And she, I think, had to be talked into this a little bit. Feels like, you know, when the rumors start floating that, you know, the coach has taken another job, right, the administration mostly knows. And so I presume Brian Maggard from, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday was persistent. That's got the good connotation, maybe some pestering in there, and maybe had to talk Allison into taking this job, and which is fine. And the Cajuns got a home run hire. You know, it's not necessarily been great hires, at least from the outset. Some have turned into that. I'm not sure how many people knew who Jerry Glasgow was when he was hired originally to take over for Mike Lotief, and that worked out pretty well. Billy Napier had no head coaching experience, actually got fired from Clemson, and That turned out pretty well, and we'll see how Mike Desimo does. So Brian Baggert's got a pretty good track record, but overall, I think he hit a home run with Habits. I still don't know why Jerry Glasgow left. I don't think he got any more money, because that's usually the case, right? I mean, Shane can talk to this. No one can blame the JMU football and basketball coaches for getting big-time money at Power 5 schools. I don't think Jerry Glasgow got a whole bunch more money going to a Power 5 school, so I'm not sure why he left this year, because he had a loaded team coming back. All of two players had left, one due to graduation, and one was a backup outfielder, and all of the starters were coming back, plus one. The first baseman who was hurt midway through the season, she was coming back. So if they could have added some depth to the circle, and maybe the first baseman could have been the bat that they were missing throughout the season, you know, they were absolutely, you know, regional quality, maybe super regional, you know, World Series quality. But, you know, a lot of girls went into the portal. We'll see if they come back with Habits, now the new head coach for the Raging Cajuns. Do you guys know her story? Shane, do you know who Allison Habits is? Does anyone remember her? Because I don't remember.
Only what I read in the press release and everything about her, you know, being a local, like you mentioned, local product, and I guess two-sport athlete for
like
the
multi-sport, yes, multi-sport athlete. So back when she was playing and going to small Catholic Notre Dame there in Crowley, no softball. So she took a little bit of a case to what I guess was the Supreme Court. And I guess when someone says that to me, it's the United States Supreme Court. They forced her to play baseball. Well, they forced her. The Supreme Court says you can play baseball. So we can all imagine how that would have gone over today. And all she did was like win all district honors. So she was better than the guys that she was playing against. She ended up playing basketball and softball at UL. She played professional baseball, if you remember the Colorado Silver Bullets, right? So she was throwing overhand in that. She is a legendary figure, you know, or we're talking, you know, a long time ago, but my goodness, she was one heck of an athlete, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her. But I didn't know any of this until Jerry Glasgow was leaving.
So is there I'm sorry, just one quick question. Is there any worry that she was out of the game for, what was it, about a year or so?
Just 1 year, yeah.
So, you know, there's not going to be any rust or any
– No.
Okay.
Just 1 year. Yeah, I think she stepped away from Alabama after the 23 season. So it's just been one season. Yep.
So, Dave, you said she had to kind of be talked into this. Do you think that it was because she has concerns over maybe tarnishing the legacy, you know, her being a Hall of Famer there for the Cajuns, or that she's the next man up, so to say, after the success that we saw Glasgow have?
No, probably more personal. I don't have any idea about what the situation is with her family, other than everybody said she came home to take care of her mother. If she was, because, you know, being a Division I softball coach is not a part-time gig, right? She can't do, it's not like, you know, doing two jobs and doing one half of your job is this and one half of your job is that. And now with the NIL and whatever's coming down the pike here in 25, 26, it really isn't. It's a full-time job. So it just felt like, and with the timing of it, because like I said, I think Brian Maggard probably knew before the rumors were out there. And so for him not to have that announcement either on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday, it felt like there was a little coaxing going on and trying to say, I'm not sure she has head coaching experience, right? She was an assistant at Alabama for 25 years. So that's what I mean by I said it took a little bit of time and a little bit of convincing to get her to take the job based on how long it took for them to announce the job and what her personal situation might be.
I guess, you know, you were going into that a little bit. I was going to ask you, you talked about she had a year off, and it sounds like this was not, that was by choice. It wasn't like, you know, she was, you know, so I think that probably alleviates a lot of concerns too. Anybody might have, if they just look, you know, you always look at the gap in the resume, seems to be easily explained.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It was her decision. And again, all I know, what people have, a couple people said that her father passed away and she didn't want her mother to be alone. And obviously that's much easier to do it if she's in Crowley than if she's in Tuscaloosa. And she just decided, I've done the softball for a lot. Let's go take care of mom. And so that's my understanding.
So then she does have some work though. I've seen a few defections going on with the roster, with the head coach leaving, going to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Where does she need to? What was her biggest loss, and what does she have to do to fill that gap?
Well, there. I mean, she lost the Sun Belt Player of the Year in Maya Davis. Yeah. She lost, you know, one of the two aces, Chloe Riassetto. She lost Brooke Elstad, the Sun Belt newcomer of the year, and the first baseman, Lauren Allred. Now, I presume, again, this was announced at about somewhere around 3:15 Eastern time, so about 2:15 Central time. So that means the deal was done probably around, you know, 9 or 10 a.m., right? Or maybe even the night before. So maybe she's already on the phone to see if the girls want to come back, right? I would presume those would be her first phone calls to everybody, to as many players as she can get on the phone. Now, I presume that the girls who are leaving may want to join Jerry Glasgow at Texas Tech. And as Shane and everybody else probably knows, that if any money is promised or alluded to, I would get that in writing. I would try to get money up front, you know, just in case. Those numbers seem to dwindle the longer that goes on. So we'll see. She does have some. She needs a center fielder. She needs a third baseman. She needs a second pitcher. Yes, there are people at first baseman. There are people. There are holes to fill if none of those players come back. Now, I know Cajun's coaches, that once you get in the portal, you know, you don't come back. That's not everybody has that rule. She just started, so I presume she wouldn't have a problem bringing back the big-time players that she lost. So, I don't know that, but I would presume that's who her first five phone calls were to those players that are leaving, or at least went into the portal. I haven't seen them commit to Texas Tech or anywhere else, for that fact of the matter.
Do you feel
we all know how good Louisiana softball has been and how much everybody loves the bat and ball sports there in Lafayette. But we also, like, maybe I don't necessarily have a grip on how much of that is kind of institutional, the success that they've had through the years. Is it something that a new coach can continue to kind of build on, the things that are in place, whether it be like NIL or just the rabid fan support and things like that? Or is it going to be tougher for a new coach to come in and continue what they've done?
Well, I mean, you're going to get two different. I mean, I think you got really two different coaches when you went from Lotief to Glasgow. And Jerry Glasgow was this superior recruiter. He is outstanding. So maybe he will do well at Texas Tech. Some of it is institutionalized, right? I don't think we talk about it enough because it's softball, so it takes the back burner. But they have not lost a Sun Belt weekend series since 2012. That's insanity. Right? That's ridiculous. We'll see how long that lasts with the new regime. We'll see how that schedule works itself out. But no, it's some of it is institutionalized because everybody knows about the program. And I don't even mind saying this. Softball is one of those sports where it's a little, well, for lack of a better term, cultish. Everybody kind of knows everybody. And so when a Mike Lotief gets sick, everyone has his, you know, pouring, you know, sympathy for him, and it comes from all over. It's really, softball is really a tight knit group of people. It's not that big, but it's really tight knit. So everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows that the Cajuns are a good program. You're coming to the Cajuns, right? They were, I think they had the best Power Five or the best Group of Five season in America. No Group of Five team went to the College World Series. They were all Power Five or Power Four teams, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, the Cajuns are just well known for being the best, certainly among the best of Group of Five teams. And because that's the case, you got to schedule. So they end up playing Oklahoma. They end up playing teams like Florida State. They get the home and home with LSU. You get a tough schedule and you end up, I guess they were 9-13 at one point in time this year. So, and they rattle off how many wins they had. So it's somewhat institutionalized, but they've also had some really good coaches, starting all the way back when with Yvette Girard.
And what do you think the expectations are with the new program, the new leader, but really kind of uncertainty on the roster? Do you feel that this team is already pseudo set to be the preseason pick like we've seen in the past from the Cajuns? Or do you think that they kind of take a step back, at least in the polls?
The only thing is that they'll probably be preseason only because the other teams that would compete are losing their aces in the circle, right? South Alabama's losing their ace. Texas State's losing their ace. So other teams are taking a step back as well. The expectations with Allison Habets coming in is going to be sky high. Those may be tempered a little bit depending on if all those girls come back. Let's just say for the sake of this outstanding discussion that they do, then yes, the goal is going to be, you know, super regional or a college World Series appearance. If those girls leave, they still expect to get to an NCAA tournament, compete and win a Sun Belt championship and get to the NCAA tournament and take your chances from there.
Shifting gears, the pressure is on this year for Michael DeZormo on the gridiron.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really true, or is that just us on the outside looking in, or Cajun fans ready to go beyond the 6-win season?
Oh, no, he's put the pressure on himself. At least two coaches in this conference have said it's time to win. One is Will Hall, and the other one is Mike Desimo. They're kind of loaded. The only place they're not really loaded right now is quarterback. They have an outstanding running back room. They got some really young and talented wide receivers, a ton of experience up front on the offense and defensive lines, really experience in the defensive backfield. Mike Desimo is not shy about coming out and saying, we got to win. This is the year we have to win. What that means, you know, who knows? I can't imagine if they fall one game short, you know, trying to compete for a conference championship that, you know, there's going to be issues. But, you know, but they lost games last year that they shouldn't have lost, right? They lost to Georgia State. They lost to Southern Miss. And they lost these games at home, which was not a great look. But this team is loaded. And if they can figure out what the deal is with the quarterback, whether it is Chandler Fields or Ben Woldridge, if anybody can stay healthy, and they got Samari Collier, who went to Illinois, but then junior college, and he showed out a little bit in the spring ball game. But the pressure's on the Cajuns. Mike Desimo knows it. They didn't lose a lot of guys in the portal. They lost a couple of key guys with linebacker Gant and Zion Chris, the quarterback, obviously. But other than that, from what I see, they got like one guy from the portal in the two deep outside of the punter. They got a punter from SIU, which also Mike Desimo noted. He's like, we're going to go get a punter in the portal. And they did. And they actually got two. But they are expected. They're expected to compete for a Sun Belt championship. Certainly a division title.
Yeah, he must feel pretty good with what he has. I mean, considering that the Cajuns didn't have a very busy offseason, you know, pretty, you know, solid recruiting class, but, you know, not gangbuster. Did only lose a handful of guys in the transfer portal, so obviously the team is bought in. However, was it a big surprise when Chris said, yeah, I'm taking off for Houston, even though you've pretty much given me the car keys to this offense? I'm just going to take off and go to Houston. Or did he not have the car keys? You kind of gave me a look like, well, maybe he didn't.
Oh, no. The look was, yeah, he was the quarterback. Yes, wow. he was the quarterback. If he came back, Ben was coming back to be the backup, Chandler Fields would have left. Chandler Fields, he had quite the offseason. He graduated and got engaged. But because Zion left and Ben can't stay healthy, Chandler decided to come back, which is nice to see. You don't see that kind of loyalty these days. We were kind of surprised because it happened right at the end. The thing is, Houston already has a starting quarterback.
Yes.
So I'm not sure why he left. I guess it's the idea that Willie Fritz is the new coach, so he doesn't have any loyalty, right, or any connection to the other starting quarterback, so it doesn't matter. But they already got one. So he's actually competing for a job. He may have been one of those guys that was promised a lot of money in the NIL. And, you know, to you and me, it was a lot of money with what he got, but it wasn't close to what he was promised. So,
yeah, I thought that was one of the bigger surprises in terms of portal defections from the Sun Belt, because he seemed like he was ready. You know, he did get into it at Arkansas State, but, you know, he was having that great freshman campaign.
Yep.
And it looked like the future was set for him.
Big time.
And then he goes to a place where he has to compete against an already established quarterback. It just seemed a little bit like a strange move. But going back to that loyalty that seems to have been cemented with DeJormo, why? What has Mike done that has gained the loyalty from his team?
I think Mike, first of all, he's a, you know, Raging Cajun through and through. from the area, played quarterback there, you know, coached high school, and then came back under Mark Hudspeth, in fact. Mike, one of Mike's issues is he doesn't do the coach speak right now. So I presume he does the same thing with his players. He says things to us in press conferences that I don't know if he means to be doing under his breath or whatever the case may be. And I mean, there's sometimes he knows I don't even film with a video camera anymore. I got a phone in his face. So he absolutely knows what I'm doing with it. It's not like I'm hiding with what's going on, but he has a problem of telling what is exactly on his mind. And you don't get that very much in coaching these days. So I presume he does the same thing with his players, and he's very honest with his players. I found it refreshing that during spring, because I just asked him how we dealing with the transfer portal, and you know, he got mad, not at me, but at the whole idea of it. He's like, the players are coming up to me and telling me what they're being offered. And he said, guys, if I thought that you were going to go and play and get the money, go do it. I would be behind you 100%. But go look at the guys, Troy Amos, I think out of New Iberia, right? Going to be like all Sunbelt corner, sits on the bench for Alabama and didn't get nearly as much as he was sold. And now he's at Ole Miss. So maybe he's getting more. I don't know. You can talk, go call Zion Chris, see how much money he got, right? You can find out how much money these guys have. Go talk to your buddies and you know, see if you guys got a spot. There are guys, I think, on the offensive line that were being recruited. And, you know, they were just going to be depth guys where these guys are playing, right? I still think that they, you know, the most important thing to some of these guys is that they want to play, right? I mean, maybe the Cajuns have a few guys that could go pro. I don't know how many guys. So this is the last time they're going to play. They don't want to sit on the bench. It's nice to get some money, and certainly some families are going to need it, right? And that may be more important than playing. But these guys just want a chance to play. Yep. And so I think that Desimo he doesn't know any better yet. Hopefully he doesn't change, that he's straightforward with us in the media, and he's straightforward with his players.
A front-heavy schedule there for non-conference opening up, obviously with the in-state Grambling, then going to Kennesaw State, back home for the battle of the cheapest beer in all of college football, right, with Tulane,
right,
and then closing it out with Wake Forest. Is it me, or does that look like a 2-2 split, or do you feel the Cajuns can really excel in the non-conference part of the schedule?
Yeah, so to me, the tricky one is don't – I'm not overlooking Kennesaw State. I just – they went to ODU in game two of the season last year, and I probably a lot of the Cajuns fans were overlooking that, and they had a whole communication issue on the backside of the defense. So hopefully they figure that out with their new defensive coordinator. If they can start out 2-0, and the thing is, John Sumrall is going to have more of a advantage because he knows what the Cajuns have, whereas the Cajuns don't necessarily know what Tulane has. I presume that Sumrall is trying to do as much as he can in his system, but he's inheriting – he's not inheriting a Troy team that had a bunch of talent that wasn't very good. He's getting a really good team that's been good for the last few years. So, you know, how much does he tweak their system and bring in his system? So Summerall is going to have the advantage with that one a bit. Then they go to Wake, and then they're at Southern Miss, right? Are you looking at the schedule? They play two games, and that probably helps them because that stadium is going to be an issue when it's hot out in August 31st in the third week of September, or the second week of September, because everyone's going to be sitting in the sun, including the road team. But no, it's a little bit of a tough schedule to begin with, right? And I'm a big believer, any win on the road, I don't care who you're playing, is a good win. So I mean, they very well could start out, I mean, God, if they start out 1-4, you know, everything's going to come crumbling down. But can they start out? Can they start out 3-2 and 4-1? And that's a good start to the season, right? I mean, I'm sure, you know, Wake is a middling team. How good is Wake these days? Do we?
We don't honestly know.
How good is Wake? You know, since Sam Hartman left, I don't know how good Wake is.
Well, looking at conference play, that the Sun Belt West looks really tough this year. There's a lot of teams that are just sort of almost like the same teams, but there's also a lot of coaching changes going on in the Sun Belt West. So yeah, it's really, it looks like it's going to be a real shootout. Where do you see the teams lining up? I know it's really early. It's probably stupid to even discuss that, but who's really on the Cajuns' mind as top rivals?
Well, I think, well, it's nice that they actually have a rival. Cajuns really don't have a rival. ULM is not a rival. Southern Miss is their rival. It used to be. For a minute, it was Arkansas State with Blake Anderson. Him and Hudspeth did not see eye to eye, which was a lot of fun for us. I think Texas State is, you know, with all their quarterback drama, still the team to beat. If their defense can improve just a little bit, it doesn't have to be the steel curtain or anything like that. But it just needs to get a little bit better. They have a tough games to begin with. They get UTSA and then Arizona State. And if they come out of that unscathed, they could be in really good shape. I think Texas State is the prohibitive favorite in the West. The wild card is kind of Arkansas State, right? Does that great recruiting of Butch Jones for a couple of years finally start to pay off? And is Jalen Rayner, who was really good, although inconsistent as a true freshman, right? 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, almost 60%. Really good. Can he get that up to where it's, you know, 25 and 10, and he's throwing 62-63%? That's the wild card. I was a little bit surprised that they're over under as 6.5. At least their win total was 6.5. They're the big wild card. Other than that, we do have, you know, either new coaches in new positions and, you know, new quarterbacks, right? Gio Lopez for South Alabama had a heck of a bowl game, but then didn't complete a pass in the spring game. Major Applewhite is heading into his fourth season with South Alabama, but first as its head coach. Jared Parker is new at Troy. Shane, can you confirm this? Gunnar Watson is out of eligibility, right? The quarterback at Troy, his decade's up. Yeah, his decade is up. Yeah, he's been there a minute. Kamani Vidal is obviously gone. And then, I mean, I don't know if Chris Lewis is going to play football again. We're wishing him all the best with, you know, his cancer treatment. But I would presume that he's not playing this year. So we don't have any idea. I mean, I presume Troy is going to be okay, but I'm not sure if they're going to be able to three-peat. Bryant Vincent at ULM. Talk about another wild card. He's overturning three quarters of his roster. He's told me he's going to have over 60 new players come.
72.
But 72 new players come the fall. Yes, that's amazing, right? We're still on five scholarship players. He's going to have 72. and so you got new there. So there's a lot in the West. I think that's why the Cajuns over under, which was a surprise Cajuns fans, you know, you guys know there's nobody more cocky than Cajuns fans. And they were actually surprised at the 8.5 win total for the Cajuns. But that has to do with the coaches and that has to do with the quarterbacking, because either if it's Chandler or Ben, they've been there before. And Desmo has been there before as well. And again, the rest of the team is, from what I can tell, loaded. So I think Texas State is better than the Cajuns, but the one thing about Texas State is that doesn't really matter, but they've never beaten the Cajuns. It doesn't matter if it's in San Marcos, it doesn't matter if it's at Lafayette, for whatever reason, they can't beat the Cajuns. Again, it really shouldn't be a thing, but so far it has been a thing.
Cajun Field, it's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the glory is coming, and even if it's half as good as what the renderings look like.
Yes.
But how are the Cajuns going to kind of maneuver through this season where, I mean, a mess doesn't even really do it justice of how Cajun Field looks right now?
Well, they'll clean up the actual field. All right. The field will be fine to play on. And I mean, we still got July and August. So we still have about another, what's that, 62 and about 6. So we still have about 70 days before kickoff, something along those lines. But they're going to play on Cajun Field. But again, everyone's going to be on the visitor side. All the fans are going to be in the visitor side. The first game against Grambling is at 7 p.m. We don't know when that Tulane game is. It's going to be, you know, they're going to have to worry about, you know, keeping people hydrated with those $2 natties when they play Tulane. You know, all the students are going to be over there, but all the season tickets are going to be on the other side. You know, no one's going to be able to come in where they have come in. Thank goodness they're fixing what needed to be fixed over there. I mean, that thing, I always thought a match in the wrong spot, the whole thing would just blow up, or, you know, someone runs into the wrong beam and the whole press box comes tumbling down. It looks like they're making great progress. It's going to be open for 2025, but it should be, the field itself will be fine. I know the carpet is up as they're doing construction, but again, 70 days. We got 10 weeks beforehand, and I'm sure somewhere along the way, right before the season starts, they'll have to, you know, make sure they're away from the field. The Cajuns got to get in there and practice on the field a little bit. And then, you know, the road teams get in there and do walkthroughs, right? So the field has to be accessible, and I'm sure that it will be.
I was glad I got the distinction of being the last person trapped in that press box elevator.
You get a plaque for that, or like a commemorative watch or something to that effect?
I forget the guy's name, but he's the internal PA announcer there for the Cajuns, and they they renamed the press box for As Long As It Shall Stand in his honor, which was the ULM game, which was the last game of it. So I don't know if that was a true honor or a detriment to this guy's career, where he had never missed a game in Cajun, like since like the 70s or something like that.
No.
You should have received the elevator permit. You know, that they display in the elevator. You should receive that as like your token for being the last guy trapped.
I was just glad to get out of there.
Dave, do you have anything more for us? Some sort of interesting tidbit, some sort of inside knowledge that we could use on the show?
Some inside knowledge? I don't know about some inside knowledge, but, you know, boy, that head coach from A&M really was pissed off when he was talked about the Texas job. And wouldn't you know it, less than 24 hours later, he gets a Texas job.
12 hours. It wasn't even 24.
I know. I mean, it's hilarious, right?
All that indignation.
Rude of you journalists, the guys to ask. And boy, you were right.
How dare you ask me that question? That's the best. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Dave. We appreciate that insight to the Cajuns and letting us know how the softball saga played out. It sounds like the Cajuns have landed on their feet pretty well. So we expect to see them back on top of the standings come next spring. And good luck. Where can we find you on the internets and elsewhere?
Well, we got the Locked On Sun Belt podcast. We talked about Allison Habits, and we did the Fighting Will Halls preview of previews for Southern Miss. And, of course, I do a morning show, you know, a few minutes, 6:55 Central Time at Schultzcast on Twitter, and it's on YouTube. Please subscribe.
All right. Well, we'll see you then. Thanks a lot, Dave. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
So there we had our Bet Online guest, Dave Schultz of Locked On Podcast, giving us the inside scoop there of the Raging Cajuns. Guys, I don't know how he does it on a daily basis of bringing the energy to talk Sunbelt. I love some Sunbelt, but
every day.
Every day. Every day.
We're on a 2-week schedule right now.
and does it solo at that. So there is no antics from Shane and Jeremy or me or anyone else to really kind of fill the gap. It's just him rolling with the punches.
Well, he's got those sweet pipes, you know, and he's got that broadcast voice, you know, it's made to be heard. So maybe he just, you know, is able, he just likes to hear that sound every morning. It wakes people up with it, but yeah, good stuff from Dave.
You know, I appreciated after, you know, it took us, you know, 4 or 5 takes to get going with the start. Professional podcasting.
Isn't it nice to get someone on here who knows what he's doing? Yeah. Shane, what we should do is have him like teach us his tricks. Like he could have like a little seminar for us. Show us how to be pros.
Sure.
I stunned Shane.
Speaking of being pros, it is definitely time for plugs, promos, and parting shots. Jeremy, give it to us.
Oh, you know, I guess I'm going to have more of a parting shot. Guys, do you have an actor or actress in your life that you follow for a long time and you're always glad to see them? They don't have to be a superstar. You know, they're just somebody that has been with you for a long time and they've appeared in your favorite movies and you can kind of, you know, quote them with some of their movie lines and you just love them. And then they pass away, and there's kind of a hole in your life. Do you guys have any actor like that?
I'm not old enough for that to happen, Jeremy.
Okay. Shane?
I'm not thinking of anybody specifically.
Oh, okay, you guys think about it. Okay, as I go, I'm talking about Donald Sutherland. You know, he passed away at a ripe old age, 88 or something like that. I'm not sad that he died. I mean, he lived a long time and had this great life, right? You know, a beloved actor whose career spanned through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Last time we saw him, he was President Snow in Hunger Games, kind of iconic role for him. You know, he could be a villain. He could be a hero. I remember when I first got introduced to Donald Sutherland was probably in a movie called Kelly's Heroes. I don't know if you guys remember that movie. It had this all-star cast. It had Clint Eastwood, it had Telly Savalas, had Don Rickles of all people in it, and all these guys in it. And Donald Sutherland plays the sort of spaced out tank commander. And he plays it to a T. He's like perfect Donald Sutherland throughout the whole thing. So I always, you know, quote Donald Sutherland. I talk about my positive, hit me with those positive waves. I quote him from when he does his role in The Dirty Dozen, where he plays kind of an idiotic soldier that shows just bursts of brilliance just all of a sudden. So he's just he was in Animal House as probably my favorite English lit professor. He's just this, and then, you know, he kind of disappears and then he'll show up as a general in a movie, or he'll show up as some sort of, like just sort of side character that just brings a lot of gravitas. So I'm pouring out one out tonight for my good friend who's never met me and I've never met, but he's been in my life for a long time, Donald Sutherland. Hats off.
Yeah. I'm just glad. Uh-huh. Jim Schlossnagel, as Dave Schultz brought up earlier, so professionally called out that journalist for asking that just rude and out of line question of whether or not he was going to be entertaining other job offers, because that's just not the time or place to do that. Then less than 12 hours later, not only is he leaving the job that he left his family for and he never wants another job in his life, but he's going to the arch rival, the UT, the new kids on the block of the SEC,
yeah,
to be the head coach and bring the Longhorns back into glory. By the way, I also learned something new. We all know the infamous personal foul you get for going horns down. Apparently, you can go thumbs down as well to offend an Aggie. And that's my parting shot.
That's pretty good. I like that. Hey, before we get to Shane's excellent plug, promo, or parting shot, because I know you spent 2 weeks preparing it, Shane, just like I did. What did you think of Dave Schultz saying that ULM just not a rival of the Cajuns? Now, just by saying that, doesn't that kind of make you guys rivals?
I mean, arrogance is arrogance. And, you know, I hear it all the time, but yeah. I'll be damned if when they beat ULM at something, my DMs and mentions aren't just going off the wall of, oh, y'all suck so bad. Oh, we beat you. If you're that much better, why do you have to brag about it?
There is no greater rival than the rival that claims you're not a rival. That's what I've learned.
And the Sun Belt is full of those too, which is.
Yes. There is a lot of that because, honestly, it's in the Sun Belt, it's always who's hot at the time. That's our rival. James Madison. Those guys are definitely all right. But I digress. You know what I'm doing here, Dusty? I'm giving Shane some extra time to formulate his thoughts because, you know, he's like, oh, God, what's going to be my parting shot? Should I just go back to the plug? Will they let me just plug the sports page again? No, we're not going to let you. We need something deeper from you, Shane. Something meatier, something crisper. What do you got?
I've had one.
Okay.
But it's simple. It's simple.
Okay. All right.
I really appreciate, you know, we're getting ready for a presidential debate.
Uh-huh.
Nobody agrees on anything in this country. That's right. Everybody takes sides.
Uh-huh.
There's no consensus on anything anymore.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate the fact that everyone – in this country was able to very quickly agree on how to spell TWA.
Is this hawk chick?
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
I wasn't even going to mention her. I was just going to leave it at that.
Okay, I don't want to spoil the elegance of your parting shot, so I won't say anything else. All right, that does it. Hey, Shane, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are ULM and... No, I'm not going to ask you how to spell that. Are ULM and the Cajuns rivals?
I think so.
Me too. I think they're rivals. Yeah.
How politically incorrect is that after he talks about political correctness?
But I don't know. Like Georgia Southern and Georgia State do the same thing.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's almost like you can't say they're not rivals because they hate each other so much.
And I don't know. That's the good thing about the Sun Belt is like everybody's got a few rivals that can be pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
But I like, you know, App State does it to a degree. Like they don't want to say like JMU's a rivalry. Like it's all Georgia Southern, but like that's very quickly becoming like a real rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. You know, I got my first, hey, did you know that Appalachian State beat Michigan mentioned in the for the summer?
I've never heard that. Did they? When was that?
Apparently it happened. I think they had a 10-year celebration of it last year or so. Oh my God. All right.
That's almost as long a streak as Arkansas State being over ULM.
Ah! You know, the Warhawks are a state's rival. That's why we always put out the stops to kick your ass. Okay, I'm just going to start from the beginning. Fuck it. I'm sorry, Dave. Geez. Have you got plans tonight?
No.
Take 47.
I'm in for the night.
I said I wasn't drinking, and I'm clearly drunk. Okay, here we go. Let's try it one more time.